the time for big change. We are on the precipice of, or as we used to say in the old days, the cutting edge of what God is doing. Aren't you excited that you are part of this? This is yes, Nolan. Yeah, this is yes. Oh, wait till I get done with him. I guarantee he will walk out of here. Guarantee. For the last several weeks, we have been exhorted about our spiritual, physical, fitness, condition. And we have been enlightened to things that have been really important for us to pay attention. The whole purpose of this is the alignment. We've heard through the Spirit today about alignment, aligning with the Spirit of God. We've heard words like courage, fortitude, patience, endurance, discipleship, and being a slave of Christ. I don't think that the church has been paying attention. But I have. I've questioned the Lord and asked him, why is he emphasizing so much about our spiritual fitness? Then the second question that I asked him is that, what are you up to, Lord? And we know the scriptures. It says that God does nothing unless he reveals it to his friends, the prophets. And of course, I consider my a friend of Jesus. So he told me. And when I came back one day from treatment, he began to speak to me, and the Holy Spirit gave me the mind of Christ and began to bring this revelation, of which was 5 pages later. I immediately wrote it all down, submitted it to Pastor Gary. He agreed, and as you heard, this is timely. This is God. So we all need to pay attention because this is thus says the Lord time. If you're not going to listen, you will have to answer to him, not to me. I'm just a vessel. The following Sunday, which was 2 weeks ago, God spoke, and he asked us if we really loved him. Do you really love God? Or do you think amorous thoughts towards God? Do you love him for who he is, whether he lays down benefits for you or takes things away from you? Gives you hardship when we're expecting good things? I've had people ask me, you know, how can I keep a positive attitude when I'm going through the stuff I've been going through for the last 10 years? And my answer is, he's Lord. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether he takes me on to glory, because that's to my benefit, or I have to go through this stuff. It doesn't matter. My life is in his hands. He is in control. I am not. And those who don't understand are in for a rude awakening very shortly. Personally, I find it very telling how quickly God is moving in our personal lives and in the lives of streams. There are things that are happening that I have been praying about that is soon to manifest itself in such a way that if you have aligned yourself, you will be the benefactor of what God is doing. If you poo-poo the message that God is trying to get into your heart today, you won't be here. You've heard me say that I see apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and all these fivefold ministry gifts. And I do see them. in you. You have to believe that God is calling you to something even greater than where you are right now. When I was ministering as the only pastor here, I would tell people what I saw. And they said, oh, pastor, you're being facetious. You're being really nice about this. And I said, do you remember where you were last year? And they'd say, yeah. And I said, and where are you today? Have you moved downstream or are you in the same position as to where you are today? And of course, realistically, they had to admit that they have changed. God is in the business of changing us. He is in the business of getting us out of our comfort zone. And we have fallen woefully into the comfort zone. And we don't like God messing with us. Too bad. He's the boss. We are not. And the Lord has given us this time to assess who we are in His kingdom. My question is, are you part of His kingdom? Are you even saved? Do you even understand that the gospel that's being preached today is not the gospel that Jesus preached? Oh, we got to have a come to Jesus moment. Yeah. But He preached the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus is the way into the kingdom. He is the life that we so desire so much. But the gospel that's being preached today is a gospel that's telling you, come to church and Jesus will meet you there and will convert you. No, you're either born again or you're dead, period. I can't put it any other way. It's just what is. So what is He doing? What is God doing? Presently, we are entering in to the early stages of Revelation 3. 11 through 22, I think, is my scriptures. 14 through 22. That is the Laodicean church age. And if you read it, you will understand that this church is rebuked by Christ Himself because they thought they were safe. They thought they had everything. They thought they were right with God. Little to find out, they have wandered far away. And that is what's happening today in the church. You can't trust what is coming out of the mouth of pastors in the pulpit. If you do not know to be a Berean, and how many times have you heard me say, you must be a Berean. You must take what they say, go back, examine it, and then decide for yourself if that's God or not. I pray that each and every one of us are Bereans. We have to understand that simultaneously as we're entering into this corrupt church age, God is doing something with us. And that's my concern. My concern is, what are you doing, Lord? And He told me, He said, you are moving into an apostolic phase of which, unfortunately for me, or fortunately for me, I will be heading this. Because my job is to steer the church to become the fullness of what Christ has called us to be. Not to beat people into submission and cudgel them and hold their hands and say, oh, this will be okay for you, buttercup. It'll be fine. Now is not the time to become faint-hearted. God is changing us because He wants a radical way in which the church is to operate, especially in this time. And what has happened is pastors, teachers, prophets have watered down the gospel of our Lord in such a way that, especially in a Western culture, we don't even recognize the subtleties that the enemy has placed upon us in such a way that we think that it's okay. We're fine with Jesus. We're not fine. We're not fine. And we need to look at it in such a way. God says that he makes plans, strategies. He tells us if anything that we're supposed to get, we are to get wisdom. Right? His wisdom, not man's wisdom. So let's look at a strategy in which God wants us to work. Luke 5, 1 through 11. And we all know this scripture, but I will read it. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, was the people crowding around him and listening for the word of God. He saw that the water's edge were two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats that belonged to Simon and asked him to push it out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let the nets down for the catch." And Simon said, "Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught a thing. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And so they pulled their boats up to the shore and left everything and followed him. They left everything and followed him. What is God telling you to get rid of? That's change. These guys left everything. Their vocation, their source of income, their families, they left everything. What has God said to you? In verse 5, in the beginning of verse 5, Peter states that they had fished all night and caught nothing. Fished all night, caught nothing. This is an example of doing things on our own strength. When we were part of the music festival, we worked it 7 years. It was a lot of work, a lot of effort, and it provided zilch. No influence into the community, no souls coming to Jesus Christ, nothing. So I asked the Lord, I said, "What do you want us to do?" He says, "Shut it down. It's not producing fruit." Okay. Peter said to the Lord, he says, said to him, "We've worked all night and caught nothing." He was making excuses for his effort. Do we do the same thing? We make excuses for the efforts that we put forward out of our own strength? Mere men, hear me, mere men make excuses why things can't change. You are not mere men or women. You are supernatural beings. You have been energized with a new life through Jesus Christ, who has empowered you with his very spirit. Do you realize? realize this. I think the church has an identity crisis. It does not recognize Jesus as Lord. It does not recognize Jesus as their life. It does not recognize the power of God that He has placed in us. The question is, why are we waiting around? We are spiritual men and women, supernaturally designed and enabled by the living God. In the second part of that verse 5, Peter says, but at your word, we will do what you said. And what they did was they put down their nets, and all of a sudden, praise be to God, there is such a harvest that's coming that he had to call other boats, other churches to come and bring this in. When I was part of the ministerium here, my zeal for the things of God were in such that had gone to a couple of their meetings and I had made some proposals. And the question that these pastors had said to me was, we think this is great, but how many people are going to come to my church? Of course, I said, I don't know. That's up to the Holy Spirit. My job is for us to go out and do some fishing. Do you see a problem here? Their minds were not renewed to the things of God. God can do whatever he wants. He's trying to get us to do what he wants us to do, so that he can clean the slate, get this all done with, and then we enter into the kingdom. And then we enter into the trueness of our call. Just getting saved and doing this work is half the job. He's got another half of the job. But some of us come away thinking, well, if I just make it to heaven, if I just do this to get to heaven, that may not be good enough. Really. Are you obedient to what God says? If you are disobedient, you are in dire straits. And if you have not repented, I was saying to Irene the other day, I said, you know, I am so afraid of God that I look at myself and I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't take my salvation for granted. It's precious to me. The scriptures tell us to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. That is a constant in my life. Do I get it right all the time? No. But where are you? If I'm trying to do what God is saying to do, and you're not, what's that say of you and your position? We have time. If we are not doing his work, what are we doing? If we're not assessing ourselves to determine whether we're supernatural or mere men and women, what are we doing? Because this will determine where we are. Just like Jesus does not need permission to enter into our lives and tell us what to do. I mean, the great example is when he went into the temple and he threw all the money changers, turned everything upside down, and said, this house is going to be called a house of prayer. That's what he's doing in your lives right now. Whether you understand it or not, he's upsetting the apple cart to get you to realize how much he loves you. And did he not say that a couple weeks ago? That's exactly what he's going to do. change in jobs, change in attitude, change in vehicles, change in responsibilities. Change, change, change. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the knowledge how to operate a thing. Knowledge in how to operate a thing or make something operate. And all of us have received some sort of training in the vocation that we're working at. It is no different than what we need as spiritual training. Even more so, we need the spiritual training. How do we think that we don't have to attend a class? We don't need a Bible study. We don't need this. We don't need that. Well, you have to understand, Pastor, my life is so busy. I don't have to make the determination. Jesus is going to determine. Are you acting like a mere man, or are you trying to figure out how to fit Christ into your life instead of you fitting into Christ's life? I know this is unsettling because he spoke this to me and he's got my heart entangled in this. Strategy is the proper use of wisdom to achieve the maximum result for the lowest amount of effort. The maximum result for the lowest effort. At your word, Lord, I'll do what you say. And they hauled in a catch so great that both boats began to sink. It takes faith. Peter was a mere man. He was not empowered by the Holy Spirit, but he took the word of God and said, I will listen to what you say. I will believe what you say and I will do it. Do you believe the word that God spoke to you so many years ago and you have jettisoned the word of God? Do you not realize how much you are damaging the kingdom of God? Well, it ain't my job. Oh, yes, it is. I don't have to do that. I play guitar. I sing. I pay tithe. I do. Those are our responsibilities no matter what we're doing. Is this not the house of God? Then we are all responsible for it. Not just, well, that individual there, or that pastor does this, or that. No. Just because I have a job title doesn't exempt me from serving in Father's house. And it definitely does not exempt you from that too. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the times of need. Let us approach the throne of grace for mercy. What is mercy? It is the receiving of something that we don't deserve. Mercy is given out to sinners. We are sinners on our best day. We are sinners at our worst day. But we want grace. We want people to give us grace. Grace is good. What is grace? Grace is receiving that which we do not deserve. And I will take you even deeper. Because this is infantile stuff that should have been known years ago when we first started with Christ. It is elementary. Grace is the power of God to advance the kingdom of God beyond our natural abilities and accomplish the will of God here on earth. In other words, When we come to the throne of grace, we cry out for mercy. Have mercy. I'm a sinful man, like Peter. God bestows mercy upon us. Then he says, because you're trying to do my will in your strength, I will empower you with my power to accomplish this. He gives us the maximum potential with the least effort on our part. Faithful is he who has called you will also do it. We have to realize we can do nothing without the Lord. And yet we're sitting back, bumps on a log, thinking that we can just take up room in the pew. That is a Laodicean mindset. That is not the mindset of kingdom men and women. And we are in danger of allowing that to creep into our hearts and corrupt the church of Jesus Christ. We need to repent. We need to go to the throne of grace and ask for mercy. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me for doing what I've been doing at the expense of not doing what you told me to do. I know people that God said, I've called you to this, and they have said, well, you know what? Too bad. I'm doing what I want to do. COVID is the most insidious thing that Satan has come up with to put the church in idle mode. What has happened since COVID? We've seen people not come back to church. We are social people. We need each other. Oh, if I come back, you know, I may catch COVID. Or you may not. Right. Where is your faith? Do we believe that God is our health? Do we believe God is our salvation? Do we believe God is going to take care of us? Do we believe that he is the source of all that we need? Then act like it. Man, I tell you. What God is requiring is a radical way of thinking. This apostolic move of the Spirit is going to require you to jettison your infantile mindset, your selfish and self-centered attitudes, and begin to work out your salvation and do what Christ has said to do. He is the boss. I'm not the boss, and neither is Pastor Gary. We answer to the boss. The Scripture says, be kind to us. Because we have to give an account to the king. And people don't take that seriously. I do. I am afraid of God. If Sapphira and Ananias came in and at a word spoke and he dropped dead, what do you think is going to happen when he finally starts moving? Those who are not right with God will die instantly. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm telling you it's going to happen. What he said in the Bible, he is also going to do. The devil has been throwing out good things to us. He has been throwing things out like the war in Ukraine. Oh, we need to get on that bandwagon. We got to help them poor people. We've got to ship food over there. We've got to ship money to them. We've got to supply them with everything. Do you not understand how corrupt those people are? And did you for once, if you're involved, ask God if you should be involved? When that first started, I said to Irene, I said, you know, because she's Ukrainian, I said, you know, God's not stirring my heart, not stirring my heart for us to get involved. I said, what is God saying to you? She says, well, I feel sorry for them poor people, but he's not saying anything for us to get involved. Out of the mouth of two or more, let all things be established. We're not involved. We are involved in other things because there are brothers and sisters that are being persecuted in other areas of the world, and I want to do what God says to do. Period. We are not involved in Ukraine. But the church is following suit. Even parts of our network are following suit because, after all, this is a good thing. Good is not God's best. It is an enemy of God's best. I want God's best. And I will not settle for anything less than God's best. And neither should you. We are commissioned to do kingdom work. We are to use wisdom to discern the will of God, then do it. Simple. But we mess up. And God knows it. That's why we can go to the throne of grace, ask for mercy, receive grace to accomplish His will. It's not to, oh, Ed, I'm sorry I yelled at you. Would you give me grace? That is so ridiculous and infantile. I can't tell you how much, I'm not nauseous, but I feel like throwing up. It's juvenile. It really is. Let me take you a little bit deeper. Okay, I just warmed you up. Slapped you around a little bit. Told you that he was going to walk out. Strategy. I gave you the definition of strategy. Now, I'm going to expand on it. The Greek word for strategy is metron. Metron means it is a spiritual jurisdiction of clearly defined territory. Hear that. It is a spiritual jurisdiction of a clearly defined territory. It is defined. It is measured out. It is boundaries. It is a targeted area. Do you not realize that God's strategy was to plant streams right here in Williamstown? He ordained it. And there are people that are not part of this fellowship that needs to be part of this fellowship because he's calling the church. Part of the apostolic anointing that God is putting upon streams is to bring us into an alignment, proper alignment with God and what he wants to do at the expense of what we want. I used to say, when I was working out getting my house in order, which getting my house in order required me to get in order, required me to be in order with my job, required me to be in order between me and my wife and my family, and then required me to be in order of my house, that which I oversaw. The first ones that received anything was my wife and my kids. The last one that received anything, if there was anything left, was me. But today we got it messed up. Oh, well, you know, fathers, my heart goes out to fathers, especially fathers who are part-timers. The truth is, they're not part-timers. They're full-time Full-time dads. You just have part-time thinking. That's not God. Where did you get this idea? If it's not from God, then it must be from Satan. Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. You know, I have needs. I have, I work all these hours. I do this and I do that. I don't understand. That's why I told my employer I'm not working any more overtime. That's why I told my employer that God was first. That's why I told him that, you know, if the boss of the company is not working, neither am I. And that was a real tough pill for people to take. But you know what? God honored that. When opportunity came for me to work, I'd say, Father, do you want me to work? He'd say yay or nay. See, that's what relationship is all about. He's the parent, I'm not. He gets to tell me what to do. And I get the privilege of listening to him and doing what he tells me to do. If I do what he says, guess what? Everything is hunky-dory. It's praise God. And things changed in my life. 35 years later, I have people looking at us, talking about us. I don't care. You don't add anything to me. God does. That's the only person I care about whose opinion is worth everything to me. Why are we so enamored by what other people are saying about us? If they don't build you up, they ain't worth keeping. Period. A metron, an assigned place or area one has, a scope or sphere of ministry, spiritual influence in a marked off territory. God has planted us here. He called us. And if you got time, I could tell you some of the history of how God moved. We're not supposed to be here. But God. But God. Thank God I listened and was obedient. Thank God. He put us in this place to begin to take over this territory. That is the sphere of our ministry, your ministry and mine. I'm doing what God said for me to do. What about you? Are we going to be like mere men and women, consistently making excuses why we can't go to a Bible study, receive the training that we need? I know there's people that's supposed to be an evangelist, but they don't want that because it doesn't go up their hearts to understand. They would rather do what Satan says to do. And the kingdom suffers. That's what that scripture is talking about. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent suffer. I want us to get out of this thing, but we have to go through this thing together. Are you with me? God sends a church into an area and wants to expand its influence. Satan wants to kill, to rob it, or destroy this work. And we have seen it time and time and time again, how Satan has sent individuals, his minions, and I'm not talking about despicable me, has sent his minions. They stole the faceplate of the meter box that we had to pay $75 to put on there. Before they would even restore the electric to the building. They stole the heater and air conditioner. We came in for a Bible study one night and it was gone. You think Satan is upset with us? We still had Bible study. We still did what we had to do in spite of our comfort, because God's word is more important for us to hear. And remember, in Luke, it said the people gathered to hear the word of God. When you start talking about the things of God and what he's doing, people will gather. They will gather. Churches and ministries have shut down because they either drifted from their assigned metron or totally left God. Pastor John was telling me of an instance with a church that the pastor is out of order. And trying to be a good brother, he was trying to bring this individual into an account. And was summarily said, mind your own business. Right? In the house of God, we're all accountable. Even when I was pastor and I said to you guys, if you see something or know something that is not right with me, you can hold me accountable. Why? Because I want to be right with God. I have blind spots just like every other person does. Some blind spots we don't want to acknowledge. But they're there. Doesn't change anything. Our place of ministry is here because Almighty God has set us here. And because he has set us here, we will not be defeated. We're going to do what he tells us to do. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Apportioned means measured. That word measure is metron. It is the area of which, the territory in which we have been given by God. If we do a word study, just a simple word study on metron, it will radicalize your thinking about things, or should. Maybe you are so juvenile in your thinking that it'll take time for you to get up. But you know what? Start today. Jettison the juvenileness. And be like what Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I did things as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's about time we put away childish things. It's about time we stop making excuses. It's about time we get on with Father's business. God has given us time, sufficient grace to take the territory or metron that we've been assigned to. Satan's desire is to kill the work, but also destroy people's lives, kill them. And I've told you guys, you know, I was down in Salem City preaching to a guy. He put a gun to my head. He pulled the trigger. I watched the chamber go around. I thought, hey, I'm going to be with Jesus. And nothing happened. That's God. It's not my time. Or as Paul said, you have need of me. I'm not checking out of Hotel 6 yet. Nothing can stop us from accomplishing God's plan for Williamstown. Nothing. If God is for us, who can be against us? Second Corinthians 10:13. And I'm going to close on this scripture. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the field or metron God has assigned to us. A field, Metron that reaches even to you. There is a territory that we have to take. Are we going to be like Joshua and take the land? Or are we going to be like Absalom trying to take the throne from David? Today in my devotions, I asked the Lord because he was showing me how the kings of Israel procreated, had many kids by not only wives and concubines, to have sons. And these sons were going to head up well-secure cities. Didn't Jesus say, if you do a good job, you'll be have authority over cities? Metron, if all you hear today is repent, go to the throne of grace for mercy, receive grace, and Metron, I've done my job for today. If you haven't heard anything, well then, you may be spiritually deaf. Not in tune with the Spirit of God. Of which you need to come to me and I will pray for you and God will unstop your ears. Or as Pastor Gary likes, he likes to lay hands. God is beginning to move differently. And the old ways of doing church are not going to work. Program-based churches are not going to work. Entertaining the saints to draw people in is not going to work. Special events is not going to work. Each one is designed to bring people to the church to hear a message of a watered-down gospel to convert them. It's about time we understand what the gospel is about and bring them to Jesus and let the Holy Spirit do his job. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that I was a vessel. I pray, Father, that nothing can stop us because you are with us. But Father, I do ask that our attitudes change. I ask, Father, that we surrender everything that we are, have to you because it's yours anyhow. You paid for it. Our life is in your hands, oh God. But this world is not the end. It's not deserving of your people. It's not deserving of those who have given their lives to further your kingdom. Father, I ask that you bless those who are hearing, who have ears today. Bless their hearts, God, that they would make the necessary changes to begin to become involved and align with you. So that we can accomplish your will. Your word says judgment starts in the house of God. And it is starting. And it will not stop until we are all obedient to the high calling of Jesus Christ. I ask that you bless their comings and goings. In Jesus' name, amen.